for your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch, be my homeward dove, and dance me to the end of love.
The End of Love by Rose Tremaine.
Yeah, dance me to the end of love.
With Miriam Margolyes as Olga and Nigel Anthony as Bertie.
The thing is, I'm 31, Dad. Yesterday I was 23, so it feels. And I got on and off the tube 1,000 times. Cried a bit. Cracked a few jokes. Had some sex. Drank 1,000,000 cappuccinos, and here I am. Old.
Old?
31.
And successful. And beautiful. Lottie, at 31, I was still living in a commune in Suffolk, trying to be an organic farmer. I was living on onions.
Onions?
Yes.
Why didn't you grow chickens?
Well, we did grow chickens.
So you must have had eggs.
Oh, I can't remember. Remember the eternal onion soup. Remember thinking I've done nothing with my life apart from memorising the words to a few Leonard Cohen songs.
Well, Leonard Cohen's good.
Yes, but I don't think listening to him constitutes a life.
Anyway, it was different then. You guys were so sort of easy about everything.
Well, the world's more crowded now, I know all that. But you've nothing to fret about, Lottie, I told you. Some woman at Olga's bridge game had recognised your name over the shop, Lottie Roberts, and she said to Olga, you know there's an interior design place in Battersea with the same name as your daughter. You can imagine. Imagine your mother's snort of delight as she set her straight.
Yes, I can.
Well, there you are then.
You know why doing up other people's houses works, Dad? Because most people can't imagine things. They can only imagine things they've already seen.
Is that true? We all just copy, do we?
Well, they have a vague concept of a look. They say to me, African. So I go, bright colours, ochre and blue, bold patterns, right? And they go, no, more voodoo. I'm thinking, what? And then all they're talking about is a mask they once saw in a shop in Cheltenham.
Yeah, but that's okay, because you're there to help them.
Yep. But you know, I'm just like them in other ways.
No, you're not.
I am. When it comes to the future, I am, Dad. The only future I can imagine, the one I want, is the kind of future other people are already having.
The kind of future other people are already having.
You know what I mean. I want Michael to ask me to marry him. I want his babies. I want a house with a white front door.
Did I tell you I've started writing again, Olga? Ridiculously slowly. In fact, the pen barely moves.
Well, for poems, the pen doesn't have to move much, does it?
Luckily, not much.
That's good, Michael. We all have one thing, probably not more than one, which makes us happy, and writing poetry is yours.
Easier watching football on TV?
No, but you see, it wouldn't be. Because watching something only brings a little short happiness, or not even happiness, just a little fleeting contentment. And then what are you left with? If they asked, how did Olga Roberts spend her life, and got the reply, she spent it watching Wimbledon, what would they conclude?
They conclude you were lying. Wimbledon only lasts a fortnight.
No, they would conclude I was a woman with no imagination.
Which is far from the case.
Yes, it's far from the case. But you know, sometimes I think Poles were born with too much imagination. We're always taking bits of the past and imagining how they could recur in the future. And the Irish are the same.
Or you could say that shows a lack of imagination. If the only future you can see contains lumps of the past.
No, because the past does recur. But it comes disguised as something else, and only those who can imagine what's under the disguise will recognize what is happening. But as a poet, you know this.
I sometimes think that as a poet, I know virtually nothing, Olga. I'm a baby poet. I can barely talk. I just make a few noises from time to time.
Well, you had your book published.
One book?
It's a start.
Sold 249 copies.
It doesn't matter.
I'd like to write songs. That's what I'd really adore to do. Songs which are poems, you know?
Then why not do it? You know, Lottie has a lovely voice, and she would be...
The thing I'm working on, I keep imagining how much better the words would sound if you didn't just say them.
Lottie could sing them.
Yeah, she could. But I don't expect I'll get it together. I've done it by now if I was going to, wouldn't I?
How can I say, Michael? I don't know you well enough to be able to judge. But that's a big subject. The things one might have done, or should have done, or might still do, instead of the things one thinks one is going to do. It's one of the biggest subjects of any life, as Bertie and I know only too well.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe what's why?
I feel so panicked when I think about it.
I had a dream about Thomas, Bertie. Oh, don't look so worried, darling. Dreams are dreams. Freud made far too much of them.
Well, what was happening?
Oh, I don't remember. There was a lot of music in it, so I think Thomas was playing the piano and...
And?
Well, other people's dreams are boring, and I can't recall it properly, so I don't know why I mentioned it. I think it was all out of sequence, with things happening afterwards that should have come before.
As in life. Did Tomasz keep on playing right through the dream, or...
Why do you say, as in life?
Did the playing stop? No, it's often when something stops in a dream that meaning appears.
I know what the dream means. It just means that now and again, about once a year, I remember Thomas, that's all.
Does he remember you?
Oh, I don't know. He might be dead. He was 10 years older than me, so he might be in a nursing home with a rug over his knees. Or he could be in his grave.
Well, perhaps you should find out, Olga.
Why? I haven't seen him for 32 years.
Well, it's far too long.
What? But
it's too long.
Too long for what?
It's my fault you're never in touch with him. It's out of courtesy to me. But now, I think before it's too late...
It's not out of courtesy to you. It's out of affection.
I think you should try to find out.
Out of love for you. And not wanting to hurt you.
I think you should see him.
I don't think I want to see
him. Have a drink with him, or let him play for you, or go to the Ritz for supper.
Oh, really, Bertie?
Why not?
Because I like everything the way it is. I prefer Tomasz to stay put in my dreams.
Most nights the identical sequence. I'm in my shop, giving advice to a client on, like, distressed finishes or something. She goes, Lottie, you're such a genius. I never would have known how to do that. And I go, that's what I'm here for. Except I repeat it over and over. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. And then it gets seriously horrible. Because I catch sight of myself in the mirror Mum gave me for the shop, and it isn't me that I see. Or at least what I see is me in about 20 years' time, and I'm 50, and I'm still Lottie Roberts in her shop saying stuff about tie-backs and valances. And the clients are all women in their 20s and 30s, getting married and doing up houses they're going to share with their husbands and eventually their kids, and all I can think is, what happened to Michael? Where did he go? He sailed away. He vanished. That's what I tell the young married clients. He was with me for quite a long time, and he wrote songs for me and then disappeared. And I never saw him again.
It was one fine March morning, I bid New Orleans adieu. And I took the road to Jackson Town, and my fortune to renew.
It's not that I'm not political. It's not that I don't think the island of Ireland should be one nation. No argument. And that the past is just full up with things that never should have happened. With things that never should have ever been imagined. I mean, no one. And I mean, no one can look at the history of Ireland and not feel a hemorrhage coming on. And I'm no exception. I feel it all right. And I mean, literally feel it in me here. But the thing I can seem to manage is the transfer of anger from a dislike of the British in general to an actual dislike of particular English people. I don't know why. And I mean, look at this now. There are days when I start wondering whether Lottie isn't just the perfect woman and I'll never find anyone better and never be happy except with her. There are serious days when I'm considering marrying an English girl. And then I try to make myself come to my senses. I say, for Jesus' sake, Michael. I take myself way beyond what's there now in my life, working as a store detective, being obsessed with Lottie's breasts and that bit of her neck you can see when she pushes back her hair. And out into some misty future where I'm completely free. I'm the free spirit of a free United Ireland in writing songs about Yeats and De Valera and rain. Sometimes this freedom thing lasts quite a while. And other times it's gone in about 5 minutes. And Lottie's back. And all I'm doing is stroking her thighs in my mind.
Dad. If...
If what?
You hadn't married Mum, what would have happened?
What would have happened?
Who would you have married?
What if I'd never met her, or...
If you hadn't met her?
Probably a very nice girl called Lavinia.
Lavinia what?
Lavinia Parker. Known as Lavi.
Lavi? Lavi and Bertie?
No, all life's a scream, Lottie. Would have kept people amused.
Lavi.
On the other hand, if Mum...
If Mum had turned you down...
She did turn me down.
What? Didn't know that.
Well, she probably doesn't know it herself anymore.
What do you...
No, I don't mean that. I mean she may not remember the sequence of things. Or she may think her yes cancelled out her no. And that her no is somehow obliterated from memory.
Why was there a no? Didn't she love you?
She's never loved me.
Dad, that is...
That's not a complaint, Lottie. It's a fact in my life, but a fact fully assimilated into it, and, notwithstanding which, I've been relatively happy.
Relative to what?
Well, to most people. That may be arrogance, but I don't think so, because so many people
don't... Relatively happy is tragic, Dad. I don't want you to
no,
be...
No, it's not.
I want you to be completely happy.
And I am, sometimes. When you were born, when I saw your face, that was...
When you saw me...
That was perfect.
Tell me why you said that about Mum.
Oh, well, I shouldn't have put it like that.
Tell me what you meant.
I meant there was never really a comparison. The day I met Olga, I became the archetypal enamoured fool, whereas
enamoured
she...
Enamoured fool,
yes,
did you?
Yeah.
Did you wander about with bunches of flowers?
Yeah, all of that. More. Every kind of enamoured fool behaviour you could think of. An absolute Malvolio.
And Mum didn't notice, or what?
Well, she thought I was quite sweet. Quite sweet and completely ridiculous, which I was.
Dad, I'm sure she loved you. I would have loved you if I'd been her.
Oh. Would you, sweetheart? Huh?
I bet you weren't totally ridiculous. I bet Mum thought you would...
Mum thought I would console her. And she was right, I did. I have. And she's had a better life than if...
If what?
If she'd been left where she was.
You mean in Poland?
Oh, no. She was in London by the time I met her. I mean, where she was in her mind.
Where?
Well, it's hard to explain. She should explain it, not me.
Try.
Well, she'd imagined another kind of life for herself, quite different from the one she's had with me.
With that pianist person?
Tomáš, yes. And she couldn't see anything beyond that. She didn't think there was anything beyond that. And all I tried to do was to show her that there was.
I know she loves you, Dad.
Yes. I only meant...
She wouldn't have stayed with you.
I only
would
meant...
Would she? I mean, Mum's not the type to. She just wouldn't have stayed.
Love's a relative word, like happiness. That's all I was really saying.
I'm making love to Tomáš in my dreams. I think we're under the piano. Under the piano, if you please. And the music seems to be going on by itself without anyone playing it. I'm sure we were never so reckless as to do anything in full view like that, in the salon, with the possibility that my mother might walk in and see us. But you know, the dreaming mind is so ingenious, because that is exactly how certain memories feel, as if they took place under a piano, with a particular piece of music enclosing them, and then all you have to do is to remember the music, hum it or hear it, and then you realize that what's inside the music are whole pieces of your life. I still have a photograph of Tomáš. A very small black and white one, which Bertie has never seen. I keep it in a little frame behind the picture of Lottie. And I know it's safe there, because Bertie would never, ever take the picture of Lottie out. But sometimes, if Bertie's away on business, and I'm quite alone here, I dismantle the frame and lay Lottie down very carefully. And there, behind her, is the love of my life, with his black hair and his wicked smile. And I knew, as strongly as one can ever know anything, that if I married Tomáš, I would always be happy, because in a kind of way I had known him all my life, and so nothing had been left to chance. I still sometimes feel amazed that he left me. I still sometimes think, how could he do this, when what we had was so extraordinary, so absolutely perfect? I mean, how could such a perfection not be recognized by him too? I put Lottie back in the frame. Her sweet face. And then, of course, I start wondering, is this what she feels for her Irish poet, this feeling of perfection? Is he the one who will never, ever be replaced?
Jesus, Lottie.
Come on, Michael.
I've got to stop.
So fit.
I've got to eat some air.
I thought you'd been doing these kind of dances ever since you could walk.
Got a pain in my chest, haven't I? I could be having a heart attack. Lottie, stop walking, for God's sake. Can't we sit down?
Sit down where?
On this railing thing.
I'm not sitting on that.
Well, I am. Jesus.
Shall I go and get you some water?
Holy water for my last rites, you mean?
You're okay, just breathe.
That's what I'm trying to do. You're so hard-hearted, Lottie.
No, I'm not. You're just making a fuss. Brilliant, I thought, dancing with the whole room like that.
Well,
I noticed Miss Nifty Footwork in there. Suppose Olga sent you to tap classes at the age of five, is that it?
Three. At the age of three.
Did you really?
Yep. Orange leotard, red tap shoes.
Some colours for a fledgling interior designer.
I love them. I used to wish there was no pink bit of my legs in between.
I don't suppose the boys in the classes wish there was no pink bit of your legs in between.
No boys, Michael. No boys in tap classes. Just the little Miss Nifties in a lovely line.
Oh, God. I quiver to think of it. Were you the best? The star?
Of course.
No, were you?
You know, I always knew I had this starry future. Always been certain about that. But it's going too fast.
What's going too fast?
I'd like to be 25 again, or 23.
My bloody tits jumped right out of my bra!
Me too, actually.
Tits jumped out of your bra?
I'd like to be 21. 21 was great, wasn't it? Used to think I'd metamorphose into Seamus Heaney within a year at the most.
It could just drift.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to get back to a lot? Songs.
Do it then. Write songs. Why not? What's stopping you?
I don't know. It's like I'm not in the right place. I try to hear stuff in my mind. I try to hear melodies, but something drowns them out.
What drowns them out?
But I think if I was in Ireland, I mean, maybe I ought to try that for a bit. Maybe I should rethink everything.
You mean just leave London?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I ought to give this a go. I mean, perhaps I can't write songs anymore. Maybe I'm shite at it now. But if I don't try...
Aren't songs just in your head? Can't you write them anywhere?
I used to be able to. When I was like 17... But now, I get a few bars of melody, say, and then something intervenes. Because I'm never really alone, that's part of it. I'm never just alone in my own head.
You mean because I'm...
No, 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 it's not you, I don't mean that. But I'm 33. It's now or never, isn't it, if I'm going to get something started? Isn't it?
Lottie keeps me from despair. That's not an exaggeration. It's not self-pity, it's true. I've done everything I'll ever be capable of doing for Olga, and she and I both understand what I am and what I can never become. I see her looking at me, with affection, in fact, with the kind of look my mother used to have on her face when she bought me an ice cream and I was obediently eating it. But looking at me and thinking, there's dear old Bertie, going on with his little life. And that's all he can do, just go on the way he is until the end. And she knows and I know that that's the sum total of it. I can't suddenly become, for Olga, what I never was. I'm not capable at this late hour of making her love me. But I keep thinking that for Lottie... I could still be of some use. Well, I don't mean use, really. I mean help. I mean that I could have a role to play. A future role in her life, which might be important. Perhaps I can warn her, or at least say something that will make her look at Michael differently. And not fall into the pattern of imagining him there, in her future. Because I bet my life on it. He's going to leave her.
I don't know why I'm talking to you about this, Olga.
Of course you know why.
It's not really fair on you.
Michael, do you know anything about my past?
No. Well, yes.
Then you know that nothing can hurt me. If you've seen what I've seen, lost almost everyone in your family. If that's what your past is, then what can harm you now? Nothing.
No, suppose not.
I'm telling you, nothing. So you don't need to shilly-shally around the subject. Do you think I can't understand the things you feel?
Well, I don't know, Olga. Because I can't totally understand them. I don't totally know what I'm doing.
I think you do. You hated that job in the bookshop.
Well, I didn't away. The pay wasn't so disastrous.
You hated it. You were bored to death.
Well, sometimes it wasn't boring.
You're well out of it, Michael. I think you are, because there's a limit to how long someone can go on with something that isn't right. I suppose we can all endure it for a while, and then
it's insane, though. I've no idea how I'm going to survive. But it's this feeling I've got that if I don't do this thing now, if I don't try it at least, then I regret it forever.
Everything we might be, we should try to become. Everything. Most people are much too frightened to do it, but you are not frightened.
No, I am. I'm scared of death. And of going back to Ireland. I may just die of cold or alienation or become invisible in the mists or something. I may write nothing.
Then you come back to England.
Lottie may have found someone else.
You'll have to take that chance.
She'd like it all to be different, I know. She'd like to design her wedding dress.
I designed my wedding dress. I could draw it for you now. It was made of white silk, not satin, and cut quite daringly low. And it was the sort of dress that clung rather than fell, you know? The sleeves were narrow, but with scalloped cuffs, like an arum lily. And the bouquet was made up entirely of lilies, with just a few soft green leaves.
Bet you look fantastic.
Oh, yes. In my mind, I looked fantastic. But the dress was never made.
Never made?
No. No wedding to make it for. Only the one I imagined.
You mean Bertie?
Not Bertie, Michael. Someone else. And you remind me of him. Just a little. Why are you smiling? Did I say he was good-looking or anything like that? No, I never said any such thing.
Didn't believe he'd do that. I thought when it came to it, he'd see how extreme it was and think, wait a minute, let's look at this again. But he didn't. He just went. I'm so furious with him. He could have had a life here and been happy. But he couldn't risk that, could he? Couldn't risk the shameful possibility that he and I, Irish and English, could ever do something as radical as being happy together. Happiness? Ah, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, girl, whatever can you be talking about? I was talking about love. I thought I was. How often does anyone use the word? How many times in a life? I don't know. Is it there more often than we think? Is it there and we just fail to recognise it until it's not there anymore and we suddenly think, oh my God, that was it, that was love and I didn't see it? Perhaps love's almost always in the past. Is it? And so happiness is always in the past too. Is the secret of happiness just the secret of recognition? What if one of you recognises it and the other one doesn't? So you've got one of you saying, come on, this is the real, absolute thing and we have to do something about it and not waste time. And the other one's going, look, this is fine, but I'd really rather be alone with my songs. Well, I am alone now. In the shop. The shop and me.
And building a hat to McCree, old girl, by the lakes of Pontchartrain.
Dear Lottie, no email here down Bridie's. In fact, she didn't know what email was. She thought it might be catalogue shopping. From a window.
I can see a sloping hill she calls O'Leary's Knob. She says it's a very Catholic knob. Who was O'Leary? I keep forgetting to ask. I'm into my work. Just. The great store detective that is my conscience is watching me like a vulture, saying, all right, I'll give you a bit of time. I won't actually destroy you until you've definitely not worked for an entire day. I don't know how long I'm going to last here. I wanted a bit of peace and quiet. But I said a bit, didn't I? Not the whole quota of the world's silence. Might have to migrate south to Dublin soon, just to hear someone swearing.
No mention of you in the letter?
No.
Nothing at all?
No, Mum. He says he may go to Dublin.
I think you have to try to put him out of your mind, Lottie. Hard as that is, try to fill your mind with other things. Lottie, did you hear what I said?
Yes. Tell me about Grandpa Jacek and the dancing.
Darling, I've told you lots of times. Job that celery, Naya. And then the chicory, darling.
Sure. Yes. Tell me again.
Well, it was in Krakow before the war, as you know. I would have been about 5 or 6.
And you had brilliant little clothes that Grandma made you on her sewing machine.
Yes, you know it all, Lottie.
I know, go on.
Well, yes, brilliant little clothes. Everything matching. And when I would put on a new dress or something, my father would twirl me around and say, now let's put on some music and dance. And so we danced to the gramophone in the apartment. And he'd teach me the steps, the waltzes and quick steps and all the old-fashioned kind of dances.
And then?
In those days, there were some fine cafes in Krakow, very smart and comfortable, with little orchestras that used to play in the afternoons, what the French call tendances. And one afternoon, I may have had a new dress on, I can't remember, your grandfather said, we're going out, Olga, so get your coat. We're going now. And so I put on my coat, and he took my hand, and we went out into the street, and I remember walking through the snow, and how wonderful and warm it was when we got inside the cafe. We sat down at a table, and he ordered coffee as if I were a grown-up. And I think I was the only child in the whole place. And then after a bit, he said, right, now we're going to dance. And he led me onto a little dance space in front of the orchestra. And I can remember everybody around me smiling, yeah. And then we began to dance. And, of course, we really danced very well, even though I only came up to Grandpa Jacek's waist because I knew all the steps by then. And I was so happy. I remember thinking, I don't think I've been this happy until this moment. But now I am perfectly and totally happy, and I want this dancing to go on forever.
I wish he hadn't died. I wish I could have danced with him when I was little.
Oh, if only, Lottie. Mm. If only.
He said the same words, didn't he?
Well, that's the terrible part of the story, as we all know. Most stories have their fantastic bits and their tragic endings. When he and Jan, my brother, were taken away to the camp, Jacek tried to pretend to me that they were going somewhere nice. He lifted me up and gave me a kiss and said exactly the same words he'd said on that day when we went to the Te Danza. We're going now. As if they were on their way to the skating rink or to buy an ice cream. And I didn't understand. Not then. It never occurred to me that they wouldn't ever come back.
Mm-hmm.
I love this moment, don't you, Bertie?
It depends.
I think it's always a great moment before the music has started. Everything about it happened.
You know, people want to get past on them.
Oh, sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I recognize that fat cellist, you know. I think he's the son of somebody or other.
I expect he is.
No, really, I do, Bertie. I recognize him, don't you?
Nope.
Oh, you're in a horrible mood. But never mind. When the music starts, it will improve because that's what music does. It lifts you up. And people who think they can live their lives without
us... I'm just worried about Lottie, that's all.
I know, darling. But we can't go over to Ireland and bring that boy back.
I think we have to do something. I think we have to do something. I refuse to sit and watch Lottie suffer.
Well, that's where you English are still so arrogant, you know? Oh. You think you can meddle in everything and bend people's lives any way you want.
Oh, Olga, don't talk rubbish. English, Irish, Polish, it makes no difference to
me. Yes, it does. It certainly does, Bertie. As a Pole, I understand, Michael, what he has to do, what he has to find in himself. But as an Englishman...
As an Englishman and as a father, I'm on Lottie's side. I can't let her heart be broken.
Everybody's heart is broken at some time.
Oh, you always... You always take your own experience as a thing to measure by, as if it represented the universal truth. Never stop to inquire whether this might be the case or not.
My whole life constitutes such an inquiry, and you should know this.
I don't know it.
Anyway, I'm not discussing it now. I want to enjoy this concert.
I don't believe you even care about Lottie.
You better take that back, Bertie, or I shall...
Or what? Or what?
I shall never forgive you.
Well, you've never forgiven me anyway for not being Thomas. You never will.
Shh.
Dear Michael, I don't know if you're still at your Aunt Bridie's or if you've left for Dublin. I miss you. I wasn't going to write that. And I may delete it at the end, so by the time you get this, I may not have put it after all. This bit of the letter may just have ended with the word Dublin. I'm redecorating a hotel. It's in Chelsea and it's got 29 bedrooms. And they want every bedroom different, so the guests feel like they're in somebody's posh spare room. It's the kind of hotel I'd like to stay in with you. We could make love in the mornings after breakfast, and little flaky bits of croissant would stick to our bums. The money I'm getting for this job is more than I've ever earned, ever. How impressed are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, is it an 8? Or even a 9? I think it's a 9. So, that's us then. They call it throwing yourself into your work. But actually, I'm finding it hard to even think about it, let alone do all the sketches they want. I think there must be something the matter with me.
Certain things have to remain secret forever. You think there might come a day, there might come a time when... But it never comes. You have to keep it inside you always, until your dying day. It was absolutely by chance that we saw each other again. I was on my honeymoon in Paris with Bertie, and poor old Bertie ate a bad oyster and was ill for 2 days. And I walked around Paris in a kind of daze about what I'd done, about getting married to Bertie. And I walked into the cafe floor, just to see, just to remember. So when I say it was absolutely by chance, of course, I'm already lying to myself. Because I knew, some part of me knew he'd be there in the middle of the afternoon. And he stared at me like a ghost. And I stared at him, and he said, "Co ty tu robisz, Olgo? What are you doing here, Olga?" And I said, "I have no idea what I'm doing here, Tomasz." And we both suddenly laughed, as if... And then...
Mum?
Oh, Lottie, hello. I didn't hear you, darling.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? What am I doing? I don't know. There are times in my days now when I seem to be doing absolutely nothing. How are you, sweetheart?
Okay.
How are the hotel sketches coming?
Okay.
Oh, you know, that hotel thing is fantastic, Lottie. It could absolutely alter your...
Mum, I'm pregnant.
Lottie.
I just found out. 8 weeks.
Oh, darling, don't cry, my darling. Darling, oh, we're here for you, Bertie and me.
It's Michael's baby.
No,
it's Michael's baby.
Sweetheart.
It's Michael's child.
Oh, we miss you, Lottie, darling. We help you any way you need. Oh, here's Bertie. Won't we, Bertie? Won't we, Bertie, darling?
Yes.
You see, my darling. You see.
Dear Lottie, as you see, I'm in Dublin now. Got a flat next door to the Waxworks Museum. And that place is a laugh and a half. All the great Irish revolutionaries looking like they're manufactured out of white chocolate. But, hilariously enough, they've kicked me off with my first song, and it's called Waxwork Blues. Refrain goes something like, "How real do you want me to be? Do you want the flesh and blood original, or just the waxwork me? Is it good or is it shade?" And I'm getting together with some session people, and we're going to make a demo tape. I feel it's a girl song. And we found a girl singer with a big voice and a weird one-word name like Cher. Her one word is Shove, short for Siobhan. Wouldn't have chosen it myself, particularly if I were a babe with scarlet hair. But she says it's not an ephemeral name. It sticks in the mind. And in this business, that is the only single thing that matters. Shove.
Can't imagine it just as a thing. To me, it's already a child. A little floating miniature child with a backbone like a fish and big eyes like Spielberg gave to E.T. And it's mine.
Bertie. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Making tea. Didn't sleep.
Oh, it's cold in here.
Cup of tea?
No, not thank you. I'll be awake for the rest of the night.
Tell me something, Olga.
Tell you what?
When we got married, you believed you could find happiness, even if it was a different kind of happiness, didn't you? You didn't think...
Bertie.
You didn't believe that you only had one chance at being happy, the one you'd had with Tomasz, and that was it, and that it was over.
No.
Because I resisted. The idea that human happiness can just reside in one life being joined to another life, a particular one, and I don't want Lottie...
Are we talking about Lottie? Or are we talking about you and me?
We're talking about the idea. Because the more I think about it, the more I can't subscribe to it.
Even though a lot of people have, Shakespeare included.
I know, but I can't afford to believe that...
If you're asking me whether Lottie will be happy in her life if Michael doesn't come back and take responsibility...
I'm not asking. You would say one thing based on your experience, and I would say the opposite. And I want Lottie to feel that I'm right. Because a life spent like that, in mourning for someone who was no longer there, is just...
As you know, Bertie, in my case, Tomasz Maclavski wasn't the only one I had to mourn. I mourned for my brother and for my father, whom I love so much.
I know, Olga. But all of that is particular to what happened to you.
It's not particular to what happened to me. Love is love, Bertie.
I know, but what I'm saying...
I know what you're saying. You want to believe that everyone is replaceable.
No, I'm saying...
You want me to reassure you that there is no tragedy.
I'm saying I can't accept when it comes to Lottie.
Go to Dublin, then.
Go to Dublin?
Lottie won't tell Michael what's happened. She refuses to try to lure him back like that. So why don't you go? Bertie?
I don't think Lottie would want me to.
Don't tell her.
I don't think I can intervene.
Then you have to accept that whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
I'd go if it was what Lottie wanted.
Well, she's fairly sure Michael's got a new girlfriend. So she might
what?
Like you. With a peculiar name, like Cher, but it's
how
not...
can I have a new girlfriend?
Very easily. These things happen in a single night, Bertie.
Oh, that's what I hate about the modern world. A single night? And there's Lottie. Oh, in the old days.
Yes, the old days. But perhaps they weren't really so different. And anyway, they're gone.
My God, it's all so complicated. Like a bridge game, the same cards dealt over and over again, but always just that bit differently, so that nothing is known for certain, and all you can do is try to calculate the most likely outcome, and try to learn from all the mistakes you made before. Then, suddenly, one incontrovertible certainty appears. Out of all the speculation, all the not knowing, this one incontrovertible thing.
He won't ever come back. He's with his own people. Breathing Irish air. With a real Irish girl in his bed. A girl with scarlet hair. The thing I hate most is the idea that I'm going to be stuck thinking about him for the rest of my life. Instead of having my life, just reliving this one bit of it when I had my crazy Irish lover. I mean, that's so pitiful. It's his voice I'll always hear. I know I will. Like you hear an old bit of music and it just gets to you and there's nothing you can do.
No, I was just passing through, Michael.
Passing through Dublin? On your way to where?
I've always liked Ireland.
Where are you going?
Oh, just to see some people. And I haven't got much time.
Is your Guinness okay, or shall I get you something else?
No, Guinness is lovely. Hmm. Now, Michael, listen to me for a moment. You remember I once told you about my wedding dress. My imaginary wedding dress.
Yeah.
Why should I have told you such a story, do you think?
Because it's something you've never forgotten.
Because my heart was broken. I loved someone and he broke my heart. I know that phrase is a cliche, but it still describes the thing very well because this is how it feels. As though something inside you is wounded and bleeding. But anyway, what matters now is Lottie's life. And this is why. When I knew I was going to be passing through Dublin...
I know why you came, Olga. My first thought was, no, Absolutely not. I'm not going to be put in this position. But then... Well, I owe it to you is what I thought. Because you and Bertie were always... I mean, I owe you the truth. It has to do with being Irish. With being what I am. I didn't just come back here to write my songs. The songs are part of it. I mean, a big part, but it's more complicated than that. It was a feeling I was getting about being in England, that I couldn't thrive there. I mean, as myself, as Michael Shane, that I couldn't grow or flourish. Even with Lottie. With someone as lovely as Lottie, I still always had this feeling of needing to be away from there and back here and doing this. Doing my songs and being part of what's here. Because I think where you were born, I mean, like, for you it was Cracow, and for me it was the North, but still part of Ireland. I think there's something which pulls you back. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course I do. But now I think there's something...
And I know I should have called Lottie, or written to her. I know I'm a coward. I kept thinking that, like, in the future I might want to go back to England. But I don't think that's going to happen now. It's got a wee bit more complicated than that. It's got more sort of final. And I think, subconsciously, that was what I was after. Finality. The thing which takes everything out of my hands.
What is this thing, Michael?
Not a thing. A person. Huh. Oh, Jesus, this is the hard bit, Olga. I never wanted to hurt Lottie, truly. But then this just happened to me. You can't help what just happens to you, can you? You have no defences against that. Just call Siobhan. Shove. And it's like the minute I set eyes on her, I thought, this is it, you know. This is home. And luckily for me, she... Well, what I mean is, now it's final, but because she's going to have my baby.
I'm glad for you, Mike. To find the one thing that feels completely right.
I'm sorry, Olga. I don't blame you a bit. If you all hate me now, feel free. When I'm a famous songwriter, you can say, we knew that bastard, that waxwork. We knew he wasn't worth a froth or a pint of stout.
I've given up crying. It's been pretty hard. Worse than giving up smoking. Particularly that first little cry of the day and the one you crave when you're on the telephone. But I've done it. I've been tear-free for 12 days now. I've kicked it.
Lottie, my girl, my only child. This business with Michael makes me remember what it's like, the way it comes and goes, and just when you think, now, right, it's finally gone, it's absolutely gone, that's when it comes back. I should never have gone to the floor that afternoon, but I did. And after the cup of coffee at the floor, I should have gone back to Bertie at the hotel, but I didn't, because I wanted to prove to myself that I could be in bed with Tomáš, that I could lie in his arms and feel nothing. I don't know how I ever could have imagined such a thing. And when the time came to leave and it was getting dark, and I'd been away for hours, when the time came to say goodbye. This was harder than anything that had gone before. And then... Well, then... Lottie arrived. 9 months to the day. Lottie was put into my arms.
Every room has a name, Dad. The hotel's idea, not mine. God, my back aches.
This one's called the Charlotte Suite.
Named after you?
Yeah. Sweet, eh?
You've made it gorgeous, Lottie. You really have.
There are actually 6 colours of green in here, but the eye sort of reads one, like in a field. Ooh, that's the idea.
Marvellous. So pretty.
Irish green.
Yes, or the green of spring.
Yep.
And it is.
What?
Spring. It's on the way. Another week or two.
Can't come fast enough for me.
I know.
I'm dying for this baby to be born, Dad. It's like I love her already, you know? And now I want to see her face.
Dance me to the children who are asking to be born. Dance me through the curtains that our kisses have outworn. Raise a tent of shelter now, though every thread is torn.
In The End of Love by Rose Tremaine, Miriam Margolyes played Olga, Nigel Anthony, Bertie, Eleanor Tremaine, Lottie, and Kieran Cunningham, Michael. Other parts were played by Tessa Worsley and Becky Hindley. The End of Love was directed by Gordon House.